Today I want to share with you, because we will be beginning revival next week, I want to go ahead and just talk to you a little bit this morning about revival. I want to share with you some things about revival, some thoughts about revival that I hope will be a blessing and encouragement. I'm going to ask you to turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture in 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7, verse number 14. I know most of you probably know it by heart, and that's a wonderful thing, but it's not so much to know it in our head as it is to know it in our heart. And I pray today that we're going to look at some things that will be a help to us. Probably nothing that you've not heard before, but maybe something today to remind you of really what revival is, what revival will do, and what it can do in our life. Revival, first of all, I want to share with you some things that revival is not. Revival is not just a scheduled meeting. There are some churches, they have set times, they have certain dates, and that's the only time they have revival. We have revivals normally at the same time every year because we feel that's the best time. But I feel that as a pastor, I always need to be open and receptive to asking somebody to come preach a revival if I felt God laid that on my heart. You said, well, preacher, we just had a revival 3 months ago. Well, you know, whether we had a revival or not, I guess that's really yet to be seen or to be realized. But the truth of it is today, it doesn't matter if we had a meeting every month. If it would bring revival, would you not agree? That would be the right thing to do. I think it's important to keep this pulpit hot with men that have the power of God upon their life to come and to stand and proclaim the Word of God. But I want you to understand it's not just a scheduled meeting. We change around based on whenever I can get the speakers to come. Basically, we stay within a certain time frame. But it's not just getting a meeting. And it's not, some people in the church telling the pastor, we need to have a revival in January, or we need to have a revival in February, need to have one in October or whatever. I believe if the pastor is the leader of the church and you have respect in his authority and in his doing, that you ought to trust him, that he'll follow the leadership of the Lord to ask who he would have to come and preach the Word of God. The second thing that may be shocking to some of you is revival is not about getting lost people saved. Now, let me clarify that before you begin to label me as a heretic. I believe today that we must understand that when I said that, revival is not about getting lost people saved, but listen, the result of revival will be getting lost people saved. And if revival starts on the first day, it's okay to see people get saved during the week. But ultimately, the revival is for those who are dead, those who need refreshing, those who need to come back to the realization again that we do need to reach the lost, and we need to witness to them in a special way. So keeping that in mind, as much as I want you to invite lost people, and I encourage you to invite lost people, I want you to first examine yourselves and be sure that you're at the place you need to be to where God can bless you. As I've already mentioned this morning, literally one sin in one or two, well, one person's life as a member of this church could hinder revival. And I want to sing, I like that invitation song we sing sometimes, "Nothing Between My Soul and My Savior." And I tell you, that ought to be the desire of every one of us today. We leave here that there's nothing between us. And I ask you, I beg you, I plead with you, if there's anything between you and the Lord, I beg you today to get it right with God. Confess it. And let's be sure that when we come next week that we're clean in our life and there's nothing between our soul and our Savior. Then thirdly, revival is what God sends down. It's not what we work up. And I tell you today, I don't have no problem with emotion, and I like people to be excited about serving God. I love to see people singing with all the heart and soul. Man, the choir this morning, that was just blesses my heart every time they sing, because they sing with all their heart and all their soul and all their might. And then Callis, he stood here and sang a while ago, that's a blessing. And I tell you, we have a tendency sometimes, we can, and again, I'm not saying this in a negative way, but sometimes we can get to the point to where we can get worked up by the music, but then when it comes time for the Word, we cool down. Friend, we ought to be just as excited this morning about hearing from heaven and the Word of God than we are about singing. And again, I think singing is very important, and I believe it's played a great part in the ministry of this church. But friend, today, the revival is what God sends down. It's not what we work up. And so it's not anything we can do to bring revival except pray and trust God and get right with God in order that He might help us along the way. The passage scripture that we find in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, is a text that is given during the time of Solomon's reign. God would not let David rebuild the temple, if you know that, because he was a bloody man. He was guilty of murdering an innocent man, of taking his wife in adultery. And so God said, you're not going to build it, but he was allowed to prepare the material, and his son Solomon erected the temple. It was quite an occasion. He preached to the people, he prayed, and they celebrated. And you know, they offered sacrifices, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. No wonder the historian said, what meaneth this endless flow of blood from Israel's altar? They sacrificed 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. Imagine the blood that flowed from that altar as they sacrificed to God. The temple was built as the dwelling place with his people in his temple. But today we are the temple of God. The Bible said ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body which is his. I mentioned a little bit this morning about this building, and I'm grateful for this building. But this is not where God dwells. This is where God meets with us when we come to worship him. But God dwells in the hearts and the lives of everybody that's ever been born again by the Spirit of God. It's a message to the church, not only that he dwells individually with each of us, it's when the fire of God is burning in the midst. Friend, I tell you what, I don't like wildfire, but I sure like heaven's fire when God sends it down and begins to stir our heart and soul. And when we come to church and hear the Word of God, that God does something inside of us to excite us about the importance of loving him and serving him with all our heart and all our soul and all our might. Revival is when God's people have their hearts right with the living God and have his will and his way in the midst of them. In other words, it's when they put Christ first in everything they do. Being faithful to all the services of the house of God. Being faithful to pray. Being faithful to seek God's will and God's face. Too many people today are so caught up with their own doings that they fail to understand that it's all about God and what he will do and can do in our lives if we're faithful to him. The text this morning says this, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What a promise is given in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 in verse number 14. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together. Lord, we thank you for revival meetings. Lord, we thank you for evangelists. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. But Lord, most of all, we thank you for your strength and your power. As we've said this morning and as it's been sung, Lord, you have all power in your life to give to us what we need and what we don't need. And Father, I pray today that you would give us what we need. Have your will and way, I pray, guide and direct, and we'll give you the honor and glory for all you do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. The first thing I want you to notice is the people of revival. The people of revival. If he said that in the first statement of our text. He said, if my people, which are called by my name. As I've already said this morning, I want to reemphasize today that revival is not for lost people. You cannot revive something that is dead in their trespasses and sin. What they need is not revival. They need to be born again by the Spirit of God. They need to be filled with the power of God. And once they are, thank God, hopefully they'll stay that way. But there's times and occasions when we wane away from being what we need to be. And God sends a refreshing and reviving into the life of the child of God. I hope this morning that everybody in this building is called by his name. I hope today you know him as your personal Savior. And friend, I want to remind you today, if you're here and you have any doubt about your salvation, if you're not sure you're saved, if you're not sure, if you died today, you'd go to heaven. The most foolish thing you could do this morning would be to walk out of this building and forget and ignore the fact that you need to be sure that you've been saved by the grace of God. But yet the Bible says, if my people which are called by my name. Can I say today, revival is not to be once a year. It's not to be twice a year. Revival ought to be every day that we live, when we rise up and put our feet on the floor. We ought to thank God for another day and another gift that He's given to us. And then we ought to be revived as we read the Word of God and refresh ourselves to do what He would have us to do. It's about getting the saints that are living again, get them back to the point of being excited about serving God. Too many churches today have gotten so used to being, you know, just status quo. As long as we can pay the bills, as long as we can do what needs to be done, basically, and keep it running, that's what we need to do. Friend, I tell you today, I don't believe God ever intended for the church to be a status quo. I believe He intended for us to be excited. I believe He intended for us to be living. I believe He intended for us to have a desire to see God work. Friend, today, it blesses me to see this building almost filled, but it would bless me more to see it overflowing, and it'd bless me even more if we saw souls being saved on a regular basis and following the Lord in believers' baptism as they live for Him. We need it on a daily basis. A saved person is the temple of God. And by the way, God doesn't move into a lost temple. That's why lost people don't need to be revived. God dwells in the hearts and lives of those who have been born again, those who have confessed their sin. Again, I emphasize, and I know you hear me say it all the time, it's not joining the church, it's not being baptized, it's not signing a card, it's not being a good person, it's trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior and being saved by the grace of God. We belong to Him by creation, but even more important than that, we belong to Him by regeneration. Everybody said, when I was born in this world, I became a child of God. Ultimately, in one sense of the word, we all belong to Him, but ultimately we don't see heaven and we don't understand heaven until we've been regenerated by the blood of Jesus Christ. It cleanses us of all our sin. Listen to what Isaiah 43 verse 7 said, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory." Everybody that is called by my name, I have created for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. In Psalm 100 verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." It is not the people in the bars and the people that aren't in church this morning that need revival. It's the people that are faithful to the house of God but have gotten to the point to where they become deadened to the things of God, where the things of God aren't as important as they used to be. They just got to the point anymore where really they think the most important thing is them and what they're doing, and they forget about the most important thing, and that's God. And I tell you, when we get in that shape, and you can say what you want to, but there's not a person in this building that at some time in your life you've not cooled off and got to the point to where your love for God has waned and you've gotten away from loving Him and serving Him the way you ought to. He said, "If my people, which are called by my name." Friend, today revival is for people that are saved by the grace of God. And I say to you today, if you're not saved, literally it can be a hindrance to revival. If you're acting as if you are saved, or you think you're saved, or you're trying to muster up what you need. No, what you need is to be sure that you've been born again. The people of revival. He said, "My people that are called by my name." Second of all, we see the process of revival. Here it is. He said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." There's a process to revival. We don't wave a magic wand, if I say that right. We don't wave a magic wand and all of a sudden we have revival. Brother Tim Thompson, as good a preacher as he is, he don't come in he doesn't bring revival with him. The revival literally many times has nothing much to do with the evangelist, although it's important that he preaches the Word of God. But literally any man that's preaching the Word of God can bring revival if the people are doing what he said we had to do. Humility is the total realization that you can do nothing apart from God. Did you hear me? We find humility is a total realization that we can do nothing apart from God. I am weak, but He is strong. And I tell you today, I'm grateful. But pride is the opposite of humility. And by the way, there's a lot of pride today in our society. People that think many times they're God's gift to the world. But I got news for you today. It's just a privilege and a blessing. Our speaker of the night, and I believe he's as sincere as he could be. He stood and spoke to us, and he said, I don't deserve the church I got. He said, I don't deserve the wife I got. I don't deserve the children I got, and I don't believe he was just trying to blow smoke. I believe he's sincere because I'll tell you the truth, I feel the same way he does. Friend, I tell you, I'm nothing but just an old sinner saved by the grace of God that was on my way to hell. Thank God he saved me by his grace. And I tell you, I stand amazed that for some 30-something years, almost 40 years that I've been preaching, that God's allowed me to preach the precious Word of God. And I tell you today, it's only by his grace, but pride is a demonstration of a life that testifies by the way they live. They don't need God. Our world is full of people today that live in a manner that they don't need God. Oh, they go through the motions. I hear things all the time about people that profess, people that are believers, people that have churches. I hear about what they do and how they go about it. Friend, I'm telling you, it's nothing but ultimate blasphemy against God for us to go against the Scripture in any area of our life. We need to live wholly and fully to the Lord. He said, you got to humble yourselves. The Bible says, pride goeth before a fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There's not a person in this building today that's not capable of falling flat on your face. And before we begin to put other people down, I tell you, when people get down, we need to pray for them. We need to encourage them. We need to try to pick them up. We don't need to kick them while they're down. But I tell you what, you better be careful, because if you're so full of pride and you think you're something that you're not, one day you may find yourself flat in your face, and you may pray that one day somebody will come along and pick you up and help you along the way. Humble yourselves. Friend, this morning, could you just in your mind and hopefully in your heart say, Lord, I realize I'm nothing, but you're everything. Lord, I can't do anything, but Lord, you can do everything. And Lord, I can't bring revival, but you can. Lord, use me. Search me, try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And let me be right with God. There's a very revealing scripture about humility found in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. He said, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Listen to the next statement. I'm going to read that first sentence again, and when I get through that, I want you to listen to the next word. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to test thee and to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee and allowed you to get hungry so that he could feed thee with manna, which thou knowest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. God said, I allowed you to wander in the wilderness 40 years to humble you. Friend, today it's been my experience that God is going to humble you one way or the other. You better get off your high horse. You better quit thumping your chest. You better quit bragging about how great you are. And you better understand that if you don't come down to the place you need to be on your own, God will bring you down. And I tell you, 40 years in the wilderness must have been quite an experience. It's all dependent upon how easy you want to be humbled. It all matters if you're saved or prideful, if you've had the hard knots of head ahead. But I promise you, God is going to bring you to the place you need to be. The realization of understanding what he's saying. In Matthew 18:4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 23:12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In James 4, verse number 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but God giveth grace to the humble. Friend, today, if we want revival, listen, we have nothing to boast about. We walk in and say, boy, don't we have a beautiful building? Don't we have a wonderful parking lot? Don't we have a great, beautiful church? Friend, all by the grace of God and understanding it wasn't us, it was him that gave it to us. And friend, tonight, we're very fortunate, we're very blessed to have the facilities we got. But don't think it's cause of us. God's given us some good people, there ain't no doubt about that. And I'm not trying to put anybody down by any means. But I'm just saying the reason we have it is because I believe we've got some people that have humbled themselves, and God's worked in and through them to bring them to the place to where they've humbled themselves and they received what God had for them. Humble themselves, and then second of all, and pray. There's a process to a revived heart. Humility must come before prayer can be effectual. I tell you, the first thing you ought to do when you pray is you ought to say, Lord, forgive me of my pride. Lord, forgive me of my sinfulness of thinking I was something when I'm not. Lord, help me to understand that apart from you, I am nothing. And Lord, apart from you, I'll never get nothing. But through you, you can bless me and help me along the way. If you pray that kind of prayer, then it might be time for you to begin to pray. Because the Bible said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He said, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And I believe today with all my heart, he said, as he said in the Word of God, pray without ceasing. And I think today we need to understand the importance of prayer, but I believe we need to understand the importance of being right with God when we do pray. Because sometimes God will answer our prayer just to give us what we think we want, when all reality may not be what he wants and what his desire might be. Friend, I'm going to tell you something today. I'm satisfied to be the pastor of this church. No matter what happens, I'm grateful for who we have coming. And whether we ever grow any bigger, I think it's important, and I think God would be blessed by that. And I want to see it. I want to see God do something. Of course I do. But friend, as long as God gives me the strength, I understand that God can bless what we are and what we're doing if we'll trust Him, if we'll pray and seek His face, if we'll live clean lives, God can work through us. He said, if my people which you call by name shall humble themselves and pray. And then thirdly, he said, seek my face. Knowing that we're walking in the presence of the Lord. This morning, our Sunday school lesson over in Genesis chapter 17, he said that he commanded Abraham, he says, walk before me. And I tell you today what we need to do, understanding that thought, walking before the Lord means that He's behind us. And we know the Lord can know where we're at all times, whether we're behind Him or in front of Him. But it gives that idea, being aware that you're walking before the Lord. And understand it, friend, God doesn't just look at you when you're in church with your Bible listening to the Word of God. God's going to be looking at you in the morning when you get up and go to work. He's going to be listening to you tomorrow when you're talking to your coworkers. He's going to be watching the actions that you do and everything that you do. And the Bible said we need to seek His face. Humble ourselves and pray and seek His face. Oh, today, I tell you, I quote a lot of songs, but a lot of songs describe the glory of God's blessings. Heaven come down and glory fill our soul. Minds, that's what I want today. I don't want next week to be out and somebody go out and say, man, he preached a great message, although I'm sure he will. But to go out and say, my God did work this morning. He stirred hearts. The altar was filled and people was getting right with God. Seeking God's face, knowing that we're walking in the presence of God. Some people have the idea that God's blind. Some people have the idea that God's deaf. I don't know where they get the idea from if they're saved, but I don't think they believe that. I just think that somehow or another they just come to the conclusion and ignore God in so many ways. But I tell you, God knows everything about you. He knows what you're doing. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a member of this church, if we're going to have revival, we better seek His face. We better get right with God. I would hope there'd be nobody in this building that would say, I would hope everybody in this building would say, I don't want to be the one to hinder revival. I know what some of you is thinking. Well, preacher, if that's the way you feel, I'd just stay home. That'd be the worst thing in the world to do. Because it might be, if you come, God might get a hold of you sometime during the week. It may get you to the place you need to be. The most foolish thing you could do would be to stay home. But the best thing you could do would be to seek His face and walk in His presence. But then lastly, not lastly, but unto this point, He said, and turn from their wicked ways. How can you be right when you're wrong? I tell you today, we live in the most wicked society that's ever existed, I believe, with all my heart and all my soul and all my might. I'm not going to take the time this morning to share all the things, because you didn't just come out from under a cabbage leaf today. You know what's going on. You know what's happening in our society. You know how bad our government is. You know how bad politically we are. You know how bad sinfully we are. Even in the house of God, we've come to places in our life where we have no respect anymore for God, nor His house, or the things of God. And God said, if you want revival, you got to turn from your wicked ways. It's not turning to the ways of the world, because He said, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. There's got to be something in our life that's different. Friend, people need to see that the members of Victory Baptist Church, that there's something in their life that is different, that will reflect who Christ is and what He does and what He will do. And I think today that we need to understand the importance of turning from our wicked ways. And many today are living, even though you'd say, well, I'm not as wicked as some people are, and probably not. But you know, don't compare yourself with what other people are. Start comparing yourself with God, and you'll find out really who you are. And then the last point, the promise of revival. Friend, if we do all of those things that we've just read, not that I said, but that God said from His Word, if we do all those things, listen what He said, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's revival. The result and the promise of revival is they'll hear from heaven. Friend, today, I want to hear from heaven today. I don't want it to wait the next week. I want heaven today to come down and be a part of us. And I'm thankful today that God will forgive us of our sin. Isn't that wonderful today? No matter who we are, where we are, what we've done, God will forgive us of our sin. But most of all, He will heal our land. He said, I will hear. He said, you'll hear from heaven. In other words, I'll give audience. Pray, and I'll hear. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right? God hears and answers the prayers of those that are right with God. He does tell us, if we regard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us. And friend, today what we need to understand is we're faithful to God as we serve God. If we regard iniquity in our heart, God's not going to bless us. And if you've got some hidden sin or there's something going on in your life, you don't have to confess it to me. I don't believe there's no man on earth necessarily, unless it's affected the church in some way. I don't believe there's no man upon earth that you have to confess your sin to except God. But I'm going to tell you today what we need to do is confess it to God. And if we really mean it and sincere, we'll hear from heaven. He said, I will forgive their sin. I tell you today, there's not a person in this room that wouldn't say, preacher, man, was I a sinner. Oh, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to brag about it. But I just want to say, thank God there's forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ for all our sin. If we'll trust Him, if we'll be obedient to Him, He said, notice, I like what He said. I will every time. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. Friend, it's not a matter of whether God's able. It's a matter of whether we're willing to allow God to bring revival in the hearts and lives of our lives. Friend, today, how bad do you want revival? Do you want Him enough to set aside that block of time to ask God to first make sure you're right with Him and then give yourself to being here so that God can speak to you through the preaching of the Word of God and allow you to get to the place that you need to be? But then He said, I'll heal their land. Listen, you know what? We don't just need revival at Victory Baptist Church. We need revival in America. And I tell you, our land needs healing like it's never needed it before. And I believe we ought to be praying for revival in America. But friend, it's going to come about the same way if we humble ourselves and pray, seek His face and turn from our wicked way. Then I will hear from heaven. Our sins will be forgiven. And He said, I'll heal their land. Friend, this morning, do you want revival? Do you really want revival? Or is this just another meeting? Oh, somebody said, Brother Tim, he's my favorite preacher. Brother McBride, oh, he's my favorite preacher. I want to come. Listen, they're all my favorite preachers if they preach the Word of God. But I can tell you this, They can only do what they can do. But if we're not prepared, we won't see revival. I got an email this week from Brother Thompson's. He's got a secretary that does some work, sends stuff ahead of time, sends some pictures and various things. But he sent some kind of rules and things, not rules, but suggestions, that what he'd like for the church to do. And he was talking about the matter of praying and being right with God. You know why? Because he wants to see revival, but he knows that revival doesn't rest in his preaching. Revival rests in our response to his preaching and what we do. Friend, this morning, I plead with you, let's pray for revival. Let's seek revival. And let's do everything in our life to be a part of revival by making sure that we're right with him. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together. Lord, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. We've used it so many times. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. Then will my sins be forgiven. Then, Lord, will our land be healed. Father, I pray that you would guide and direct. Give us what we need. And Lord, today I don't know. And I preach to Christians, but there could be somebody here today that's never been saved. And I pray today, if that be the case.